Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis, and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis, who's not feeling his best today. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm an autopilot. The next hour and a half is going to be a blur, and then I'm just going to collapse in a heap.
Well, hopefully you don't say anything too controversial, like I did yesterday. I got this email in from Alex.
It says, better be about the pants.
Well, this comes in from Alex. Dear Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and he who shall not be named, I feel obliged to inform you that Kung Fu Panda is an incredible film, as is the remainder of the trilogy, maybe the third one less so. Watch the first couple with full attention. Well worth your time.
There's a high-end, a really top-level computer programmer who writes about meditation and stuff. I can't remember his name now. Sort of Silicon Valley vibe. Mm. But he wrote an entire... I forgot about this yesterday. He wrote this entire 50-page essay on why Kung Fu Panda 3 is the perfect hero's journey. He loves it.
Well, I'm willing to watch the other two. I just don't think the first one is... It's fine. Like, it's so fine. It is broadly fine.
Was there any more correspondence on that?
Not on Kung Fu Panda, although there was a bit of clarification on the Vuvuzela debate and how it's said. This comes in from Bryn. Hey, Luke and Ollie. As a proud Sith Ifrigan, he actually spells it E-F-R-I-K-E-N.
So what? What?
So he has spelled it south.
E-F.
E-F-R-I.
K-E-N. Ken. Ifrigan.
Yes.
Ifrigan. African.
Allow me to clear up the confusion. Good. The Z sound in Vuvuzela is like zebra, not zebra, as our American friends will insist upon. However, you guys have been pronouncing it Vuvuzela, which is wrong. It's Vuvuzela.
Right, Vuvuzela.
Hope
I
this
see.
Helps.
We were so close.
Apparently, the Vuvuzela noise is the key of B-flat, and all cars made in the U.S. have horns, hooters, in the key of F. I'm 80% sure of both of those facts. Keep up the good work. Loving the new look. Mm. When can we expect the next Fantasy Booking Warfare?
That's definitely an 80% fact. Dukes of Hazzard.
Say again.
That's what their horn did on their car.
I think he means just like comma general cars.
Well, it was a bit too general for me.
But to answer the question, when can we expect the next Fantasy Booking Warfare? Because it is meant to be you and I doing it.
Yes. I hope everyone understands. It's been quite a lot on recently.
Has a little bit.
And what we may delay in Fantasy Booking Warfare, the topic that won out was Triple H finally taken over from Vince McMahon, which is a storyline we've booked multiple times anyway with all the NXT invasion stuff. So it's not particularly inspiring, unfortunately.
We've got to try and find a way to do this without... I think we set ourselves our own little caveat that it couldn't be NXT-based.
Mm.
Like, there could be no basis of NXT in this story.
Yeah. Well, they're all on the main roster anyway.
Which makes it sound even less interesting, to
be
honest.
We'll get to it. We've
absolutely,
got You will have enough content this weekend to keep you happy.
Luke Chador emailed in. Bernard is his real name. He suggested in Randy Datson name of Datson Disciples. I think we decided that we're going to put an end to this debate now. Mm. But I wanted to give a shout out to Luke Chador because he took a sign with him yesterday to SmackDown that I did not spot. However, I did get messages from people about the lad with the Final Fantasy VIII sign. As Matthew from Botchamania has pointed out, there appears to be now a sign war between fans about the quality of Final Fantasy VIII.
This is great.
Because someone said...
Book it at Mania, Vince.
The original sign said, Final Fantasy VIII is... Final Fantasy VIII is rubbish. And then someone had taken a sign to another show a couple of months later, said, Final Fantasy VIII is underrated. And the sign last night said, Final Fantasy VIII is pure filth.
We need a new feud after Mania, because the Final Fantasy one will presumably blow up on the Raw at least. So I'm thinking SmackDown after Mania, Kung Fu Panda is a good trilogy. Yeah. And then people can bring their own signs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, by the way, the first person who said he who shouldn't be named, that's a Harry Potter thing. Randy loves Harry Potter.
He has a Harry Potter tattoo.
So we can't... That will make him too happy,
yeah,
that reference.
Absolutely. I mean, he's not here at the moment to hear it, so he doesn't have to know that someone called him that.
Can't believe he wore his own top on the live stream yesterday.
No, he's such a mark
for little
himself.
Face. But so there was a moment today where I was feeling so under the weather that I went over to Pete, Chopper Pete's desk, and I said, Pete, could you watch SmackDown just in case I can't do the live stream? And Datsun's head just poked up like a meerkat around the chairs. He didn't say it, but I knew he was thinking, I'll do it. I'll go on the channel.
I'll do it for you, sir.
We've given you a spot, Randy. Your researcher.
Absolutely.
To find out where Baltimore is.
And apparently with police that are able to drop off Becky Lynch to the next town over.
It's nice
of them. It is very nice of them. Will also emailed with the Rust Talk Get Better that says, hey, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Fakador, and everyone else but Randy and his little weirdo followers. I decided to join the Rust Talk Get Better movement in February. I wanted to give you an update on my progress so far. I'm 6 foot tall, and on February 15th, I weighed myself as 252 pounds, which is around 18 stone in old money. After just changing...
No, that's the same money.
Well, yeah, but to our money. after changing my diet and tracking calories without much exercise back then as of yet, as of today, March 14th, I am...
Kilograms is new money.
Well, he does give it in kilograms, well, if you do want it in new money.
Okay, 114. For you.
I am 238 pounds or 17 stone. So off to a good start. But my goal is to get around to 190 to 200 pound range, so I'm around 14 stone. I'm a former high school and college tennis player and I've just gotten my tennis teaching certification and have started giving tennis lessons to people of all ages here in New Jersey, aka the New York area. So hopefully that'll get my ass back into shape. Anyhow, I'm hoping to be attending the Bullet Club block party and hopefully WrestleMania 4 goes well. So hopefully I'll have some good Rusev haze for you in the near future. Keep up the consistent, efficient work, and I'll talk to you soon. That's Will from the New York area.
Congratulations, Will, from the New York area. Absolutely. For losing that weight.
Yes.
And hopefully, yeah, having an active job like that, you should see the pounds shed away. I'm trying to come up with it. I thought, you know,
you
when you start
falling apart,
you know, when you
this.
Start a sentence and you're like, there's something here, there's a tennis pun here.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I will have figured it out by the end of the sentence.
Yeah,
it's not happening.
Do you want to try it again?
Serve, aces, John McEnroe,
slice.
Is that... oh, yeah, you slice a shot, yeah.
Cucumber sandwich, strawberries.
I think, wait,
cream.
Wait, I've just got to word this correctly.
Henman.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe you could be pretty good in the New York area, for the New York area. That's a backhanded compliment.
It's a backhanded
compliment.
But wait, where's
like a backhand?
Oh,
in tennis.
That was very, very tenuous. I gave you a lot of tennis-based words there you could have used as well. Let's have one more. I think this is a request for advice, but I've filed it under Get Better because I'm very bad at my job. Hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and absolutely definitely not Andy. Ever since I started watching and listening to you guys, I've been interested in starting my own YouTube channel to create some wrestling-related content of my own. However, I worried that my accent might hold me back. I have a fairly strong Scottish accent, which some people struggle to understand. People struggle to understand me all the time. Is there any... That's because I'm bad at talking. Is there
I'm
any
drunk.
Way...
when you host the videos.
Is there
Beer
any way that you
sponsorship
know
a downfall of you?
Is there any way that you know of how to lose or weaken an accent, or should I embrace it and make my content anyway, despite potentially not reaching as many people in the long run? Any advice would be appreciated. Also, I have a quick 80% fact as well. Did you know there is no such animal as a Black Panther? They're actually just all leopards with malasium, which makes them appear completely black. No idea if it's true, but I'm sure I remember reading about it at a zoo when I was younger. Keep up the great work. That's from Kieran.
What's malasium? That sounds like vibranium.
Or melanism. M-E-L-A-N-I-S-M. So melanism. Melanism.
Melanism.
Melanism.
I think mela...
I have to break that down because I'm thick.
Mela is a skin pigmentation thing, but this is a fur. We're talking about a fur on a leopard, I guess.
But anyway, advice for Kieran.
Well, Arnie, there are no better life teachers, I think, than Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I am not joking. The man is incredible. And he always said that he learned English and he would learn, when he learned English to a very high, you know, he's fluent in English, but he never wanted, even though the Hollywood act, like Hollywood casting agencies were like, you've got to get rid of the accent. He was like, no, I'm going to keep the accent because that's what makes me different from everyone else. So it's about getting your, about maintaining the accent, but being comprehensible to the largest amount of people at the same time.
Just look at it this way. Kenny McIntosh is very successful within the wrestling business, and he has got an incredibly thick Scottish accent. Mm. Jen Louise has got a Scottish accent, and she's doing all right for herself as well.
Ross Twaddell.
Ross, he's Geordie.
Yeah, but it's a very thick accent.
And it's a wonderful accent as well. I do like the Geordie tone. So yeah, I would say just go with it, mate. Or if you want to be like me and lose your northernness, just get it bullied out of you at school. That's my best advice I can give to you, although depending on how old you are, may struggle with that and where you're based, I guess.
Get bullied at work.
Just find someone who really doesn't like the fact you have a northern accent and then bully you until you decide to lose it because going to school is just horrendous otherwise. Anyway, Kung Fu Panda, let's talk about this SmackDown show. We haven't even really agreed on a title here.
What is that title?
Well, I think I was going to go with, where was Vince McMahon?
Yeah, I've just written Brian versus Kofi - lack of Vince McMahon. Will WWE still cancel # Kofi Mania?
Oh, I think that's what we were going to go with. Yeah, I think that's a better one.
Well, you'll find out.
Well, you'll find out. Recorded live on YouTube. Please enjoy this show. Dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity, dog.
Quick, dick, dick, diggity. Talk about what we were talking about yesterday, which is where we were predicting what would happen on SmackDown. And you said, surely they're going to pay off the Vince McMahon angle. He's going to go, but I didn't say which B-plus player.
That's exactly what I thought they were going to do. I was like, this Vince McMahon storyline has been going on now for months. There has to be some sort of payoff before WrestleMania, right? No, it turns out last week was the payoff, where Vince just went, yeah, okay then.
Yeah. Kofi who earned the match, it was his tag team partners.
And that was it.
Yes. And this guy over here, who unfortunately is a modern-day prophet when it comes to predicting how inept WWE's continuity and payoff can be, I said, They're not gonna even touch on it. It's just gonna be a straight up contract signing segment. It's gonna be a good segment because everyone's really good at promos in there. I'm gonna shake the table too much, but Vince is not going to be seen. And I was watching there at this morning, and I was watching it, and I was just going,
I was watching, and I was like, right, and now Vince comes out because Brian signed it first, and I was like, all right. And now Vince comes out. And then I just moved my mouse over to the timer to see how long was left. And there was 2 minutes left. And I was like, Vince isn't coming, is he? That storyline has just been dropped. Just like how we introduced Charlotte Flair and how Triple H and Stephanie were involved in the Becky match at Mania. These storylines are just being dropped. And I'm an idiot for thinking there might be some continuity.
There's no storylines. That's what you need to figure out. There's just moments.
Yeah, okay.
There's just things that happen.
Like all good books.
Yeah, they're just things that happen. Like, WWE actually thinks it's an incredible barrier-breaking metaphysical comment. on storytelling. Well, no, it's actually very postmodern. There is no structure to anything we do. It's just chaos. Because we want to get over the chaotic feeling of Kevin Dan's camera work.
And Kevin Dan's.
And Kevin and Dan and Kevin Dan.
You should have
been in my house this morning. When it was counting down to the end of the show, I was like, 10, 9, 8, he's not coming out, Luke, 6.
Although, as I said in my review, I couldn't be happier to be wrong. Because this storyline didn't need more McMahon shenanigans of him coming out and saying, aha, but I actually didn't say which B-plus player, pal. I didn't want that storyline to go anywhere. However, I would have liked some sort of conclusion. But as I said to you in the office earlier, maybe the conclusion will come at WrestleMania. Mm. Maybe just before the match starts, Vince will come out and he'll do something along the lines. Maybe make it a 2-on-1 handicap match with Rowan or something along those lines.
Ooh, that's tasty.
Just because, like... Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there just was no storyline here. Maybe they just thought, well, we've got 2 months of episodes to fill. We'll just do some stuff with Vince for a bit, and then we'll have the match, and no one will care out the other end because Kofi will be WWE champion.
Isn't it freeing to acknowledge that? And you can just stop looking for sense, and you can just go, it's all chaos.
There's
We're
a
all
reason.
Just, the universe is just descending into chaos. It goes from order to just... insanity, and there's nothing we can do about it.
There is a reason why I am bottom of Wrestle League. It's because every time I've made a prediction, I'm like, well, I mean, logically, this would make sense because that's how you could tell the story to get to this point here. And it has bit me in the ass every single time I've done it.
You've chosen.
And not listened to Dave Meltzer.
You've chosen with your heart. You've chosen with your head. But it's your Bobby Lashley bottom. That's where you've got to choose from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you like this main event segment then?
I thought it was solid. You know, so it was sort of built up throughout the night. You had the New Day looking over a contract backstage.
Ollie's not very well, by the way.
Yep, not very well. And they had big monocles on. That was hilarious. Daniel Bryan was also looking over his contract. But the main event segment was Bryan in the ring. Michael Cole is there as the MC.
Brand split, LOL.
That was another thing. I was like, it's not even Vince McMahon. No. He's nowhere near this angle. And the crowd were really, really into Kofi. They were chanting Kofi Mania. They were chanting Kingston. And it was genuinely really cool. And Brian cut a terrific promo. Surprise, yeah. Surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, terrifically delivered. Fantastic content. And he gives this series of smarmy life lessons.
Yeah.
Where he's like, don't mistake a fad for reality. And he said that to Kofi. Like, this is... They don't feed... What was the line? You don't feed off of them. They feed off of you. They're parasites.
Yeah.
And I just like it really carried on Daniel Bryan's heel turn. And it just put Kofi in this great position to fire back and say, no, they are on my side.
And it was nice as well because it felt like it was about time we tried to tie some of this Daniel Bryan heel turn into this Kofi push. Because previously, I guess the B-plus player thing is quite nice and because it's a nice mirror image of Daniel Bryan. But I was really into the idea of it being about Daniel Bryan versus consumerism and Kofi and the New Day representing everything that is consumerism or bad eating habits because they love breakfast foods and all this sort of nonsense.
You can tell a larger story.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes. So it was actually quite nice to get some of that into this promo, which I really liked. And I loved that line about it being a fad and being like, look, I was once like you. I bought into them chanting yes for me and chanting my name. And I bought into all of that until I realized that I don't need them. Oh, that was nice.
Yeah. And it's weird because I think on for the Raw review, and this isn't just a case of SmackDown gets a free pass, but...
You have to with YouTube.
Yeah. But Raw was... But we criticized it for having no good go-home angles apart from the Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair... Ronda Rousey segment and the Brawl backstage. Whereas this, a contract signing for your big go-home SmackDown angle between Kofi and Bryan, that doesn't sound good on paper. And it's not a really hot cliffhanger angle, but it did make me want to see Kofi take on Bryan.
Interesting.
So I'm not saying it's this rip-roaring go-home angle success, but I liked that it was in the main event. I liked that they took a more pared-down version of this, given... like the last month or so of this story anyway, where he's been taken in and taken out and gauntlets up the wazoo. So yeah, I didn't mind it as a go-home angle. Call me a hypocrite, though.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was the flattest of all the angles that they have done, though. Mm. And it didn't feel like the big go-home one to really drive home and make you want to see the match. I just thought it's two good promos from two guys who are very good at doing promos. But it's the majority of its content we've already heard.
Yeah.
So there was this. It didn't really bring a lot new to the feud or to the storyline. What am I saying? Storyline? There is no storyline. So I liked it. Don't get me wrong. I did like it, and I liked this show. I thought this show was fine. It's just I didn't think it was a great go home angle. I think in all of this go homeness, WWE have spent all of their time thinking about one angle. And that was the Becky Ronda Flair one, which is fair enough. That's the main event of the show. The downside of that is that everything else suffers. And my issue I had with this whole of SmackDown was just like, they were like, oh, how do we build this? Why don't we just have someone go out and explain why they're going to win?
Mm.
And that for me is not just, that's not really effective build. That is just people talking.
Yeah, it's solid. This didn't make me, like, some of the angles on Raw made me want to see their matches less.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this angle made me want to see it a little bit more. But yeah, you're right. For a go-home for WrestleMania, the expectations are higher. Expectations that really shouldn't be higher, though. Because did you see Matthew's Twitter feed today?
Yes.
And he put up all the last images and angles of every WrestleMania, every Raw before WrestleMania. And that they are 90% disappointing.
Some of them are really good, but yeah.
The Stone Cold era, yeah.
Well, actually, I think like the Roman Triple H one as well, when he did the big dive, yeah. And he had like the whole locker room trying to split them apart.
I didn't like Roman Reigns back then, so I was still like, ugh.
But you look back on it in hindsight, and you're like, oh, that was really good. And like, he's done it again today for SmackDown. And some of the SmackDown ones have been really, really great. So I think that WWE don't have a long track record. Mm. But they can do it.
They should do.
They should do.
They should do. This is your last selling point for your biggest show of the year.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, to further the title of the video, your idea is that Vince will still screw Kofi at WrestleMania.
I'm not saying I want that to happen. Do you know what I want at WrestleMania to happen? I want Kofi and Daniel Bryan to have a match, and I want Kofi to win. That's what I really want to happen. That is the match I want to see. That's the match I've been wanting to see for the last 2 months. I've been waiting for this moment here for WrestleMania for these two to finally collide, for Kofi to win, prove Bryan wrong, blah, 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 blah. That's what I want. What I fear is that WWE will suddenly go like, we had a Vince McMahon involved in this storyline previously. Maybe we should do something with him. Or they're saving it for WrestleMania and to try and sort of artificially extend this. Because as a few people have said, a lot of people are... what's the word I'm after? Pessimistic that WWE will give us three big happy endings in Bryan, Seth, and Becky.
Mm.
No, sorry, Kofi, Seth, and Becky. And so a lot of people are like, they're not going to give us all three. Pete even said this today in the office. He said, they're not going to give us all three.
I've got a theory about WrestleManias that are divisible by five, and those ones seem to have more baby faces go over. Did we prove this yet? I'm only looking at really two shows.
Yeah.
But that's good enough for me.
Exactly.
That's so more than most medical studies.
So my argument would be that perhaps Kofi will be the one who doesn't get the big moment because we're getting Seth and Becky. And then we can artificially extend this and do this at Money in the Bank or Backlash or something.
So I don't hate the idea of Vince's involvement. I hate the idea of Vince coming out and saying, it's actually someone else. And I don't know.
It's Kevin Owens.
Another hour is added onto the pay-per-view because it's another freaking gauntlet match. But if you play CM Punk John Cena style match, where the crowd are really on Kofi's side, and then Kofi seems to have it won, Vince comes down, tries to replicate a screwjob style angle, but Vince doing that causes Bryan to lose and Kofi to win, then you've protected Bryan. You've got mileage for a rematch. Because I don't think... This is quite rare. I want this feud to continue.
Yeah, I'd say so,
even
yeah.
Even if Kofi wins. And then it also ties Vince back into the story and doesn't leave it as a horrible loose end.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Fire away.
Why does Vince hate Kofi?
Because he is not at the level that Vince thinks he's not at the level that the crowd and Kofi think he's at.
Okay.
That it's his company, and he doesn't want someone who he's always seen as a mid-carder hold one of the top titles.
I think that story could have been better told.
No, I think that was very well told with all the promos when Vince said
I'm being very facetious.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, I thought, yeah. Yeah. It's just a shame they dropped it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It'd be nice to a conclusion.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
But let's do some Patreon shout-outs before we get out of here. Of course, go over to Patreon, clicking the link in the video description below, because then you can participate in Wrestle League, which comes to a close this Sunday.
But also begins this Sunday at WrestleMania. It all begins again.
That's season two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Patreon's number one, Zach Gibson.
Not bad, woo! Mate. Not bad. The star athlete Lendl Brentson. Yeah. Way, Randy Datson, you do one. You say, he ain't no small man, he's a William Tall man.
He ain't no small man, he's a William Tall man.
Yeah, there's
the Generation Game voice back. Harder than its bite, Sean Barksdale.
Colin McLeaner than Finn Balor. Always lean.
Yeah.
He's so lean. Can you say Adam and the Anthony Bergeron?
Adam and the Anthony Bergeron.
Whoa. Oh, nice read. Belly nice toy. Read, mate.
Asuka's future husband and EOF one-man wrecking crew, Skin Trade.
Oh, it's... Sure.
Well, whatever you want.
Oh, I've got this one this month. You'll never get this name right, you idiots. Matthew Zimajewski.
Zimajewski.
Brett the Hitman Matthew Williams, if you will, please, Datson.
Brett the Hitman Matthew Williams.
Hey!
And killer Chris Phillips.
Oh,
wait. Nice. Yeah,
dangerous.
I got to bump.
Dangerous. Yes. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity, dog. Freaking. Andy Datson gets us some questions.
Hello. Well, first of all, I made a mistake by trying to correct people who kept calling you oil in the chat, and now everyone is calling you oil.
Stop trying to correct people.
Because now everyone's calling you oil and oil mania, and you are now Lick Owen.
oil and Lick.
Yeah.
Sounds like things that children should
do. So what is your favourite oil?
My favourite oil? Well, it's got to be coconut oil.
Yeah.
Laurie would definitely go for fish cod liver oil. Coconut oil is great for the whole body. You put that stuff on your hair, it's soft.
Texaco.
Okay, fair enough. Josh Paulson asks, could the... I think what he means is...
Quick games.
Is WrestleMania just becoming a big house show without stories?
Huh.
No, because like house shows really have no story. Like that is here are a bunch of matches.
Yeah, I think he means sort of like a Super Showdown kind of thing where it's just
like a greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah. I don't even think it's like that. I think this has had more build than any of those shows have.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Gavin Wilson asks, do you think John Oliver's comments could have kept Vince away from TV?
That's a good shout. That's a great shout. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, just take the heat off, because it was very much directed at Vince as well as the whole company.
Yeah.
Did you ever used to listen to The Bugle? Which was John Oliver.
I used to read the Daily Bugle and all those puff pieces about Spider-Man.
Yeah, this was the excuse me. This was the podcast with John Oliver and Andy Zimmerman. It's a cricket comedian, cricket and snooker comedian. Yeah. Andy knows sports. I thought he might know.
Andy, do you know?
No.
Okay. But they used to have they used to do a long running podcast. It was very much beloved, and then John Oliver moved. But they would always talk about wrestling. So I think they're very big fans.
He does say in the video that he is a big fan of wrestling. Mm. Yeah.
I've got three more if we can get through them quickly. Dan JP asks, who should feud with Kofi after Mania? Perhaps Samoa Joe or a drafted Drew McIntyre?
Well, that would suggest that Joe is losing at Mania, which he could do, I suppose.
Or they just put Kofi immediately into the mid-card. Kofi loses and he's fighting for the US title.
Yeah.
Back where he belongs in Vince's eyes.
Well, the answer's Kane, obviously.
That's
how you get someone over. You just bring back Kane again and you have him feud with Kane. Yeah.
I defer to the man on my right.
Gary Ahuja says, can do the face heel as perfectly as Brian? Who else is there?
Oh, so who's like as brilliant as they are as a face, as they are as a... Bret Hart. Bret Hart was a phenomenal heel and an incredible baby face.
Ah, but he was more of a tweener. As a heel, he was still a face in America.
But that's why he was so good at it then.
It's very, very good.
So, Bret Hart, I'd say, was really good at that. Eddie Guerrero, I'd say, was really good at doing both roles, because I think he just went to... When he was a babyface, he didn't change a lot about his character. He was just still the same guy.
The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood Rock.
Yeah. And corporate rock and things like that. So, yeah, The Rock's a good shout. Yeah. Rock's a great shout.
And last one from Tomo. You might have heard that one before.
Tomo.
What are you most looking forward to in the pre-show? Which match? And he wants an answer from me as well.
So, we don't know what matches are on the pre-show.
Yeah, we do. They were confirmed today.
Were they really?
Both Battle Royals.
And the Cruiserweight match.
Huh. I would have bet dollars to donuts that SmackDown tag match would have been on the pre-show. I would have put money down on that had I
still
not known.
Be.
And I would have said that the men's Battle Royals on the main card because of the Saturday Night Live thing. So, I'm surprised. Cruiserweight match, then.
Cruiserweight match, easy.
Cruiserweight match, just obviously.
Yeah. I'm not really into the loser battle royals. I'm glad everyone gets on the card, but they do nothing for me.
I'm looking forward to seeing how fast Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows are eliminated. That's my main anticipated bit of the pre-show.
Were they tagged in?
No, they just... We'll get to that. Yeah, they actually appeared briefly in this show.
Right. So, kicks off with the main show.
Yep, the main show began with Kevin Owens and his talk show segment.
Yes.
Which, this was a fine segment. Kevin Owens is very good at this. Kevin Owens is good at everything he does.
Is he in the Battle Royal?
I don't know, I don't think so. He wasn't on my list that I did today. He's really good at everything, but this is just such a waste of him.
Isn't it just?
And I get the plans change and you go with Kofi instead. Which is the right move. But even before it was Kofi, it was Ali. So I just question, why not just bring back Kevin Owens after WrestleMania? Because he's been lost in the shuffle. So any momentum he gets from his surprise return...
When he was aligned with Vince McMahon.
Yeah, absolutely bewildering. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real shame for KO, because now he really is on the... this is his first WrestleMania where he doesn't have a KO Mania t-shirt. So it almost feels like he himself, or he can't even get the merchandise team behind him to make a t-shirt. So really, really, really gutted for him. But he was holding the KO show with AJ Styles and Randy Orton, who said everything they've said in previous promos.
They haven't mentioned the drug test stuff before, have they?
I think he's alluded to it in previous things.
Yeah, you're right. There was no new bits. But AJ and Randy Orton, I forget this match is happening every week.
Well,
by the end of their segments, I'm like, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I said this in the review, but it's like, it's a match that had this been like 10 years ago, if you'd have told me this match was happening, I'd have been super stoked for it. But it feels like this feels like any other match on the card at the moment. It doesn't feel like there's any sort of special fire to it. This match really feels like these two other guys had nothing else to do, so we just put them together.
Yeah. Which is a shame, because they have been building this feud since last April, I think, when there was...
Did they?
Yeah, AJ and Randy, back when AJ was champion, they had a few matches, just TV matches. Autumn was a face back then, I think. And they were structuring the matches really well. And everyone was saying, when they have the eventual pay-per-view match, and you get the phenomenal forearm into the RKO, and that there was another spot where AJ went for the phenomenal forearm, Randy went for the RKO, but AJ stayed rooted, and Orton just took a bump by himself.
Was that last year?
That was last
year.
That
feels like a long time ago.
I'm sure
that
the comments
spot.
Are going to correct me very quickly.
No doubt that you're right. It's just that that feels like it's a much longer ago than last year.
It's a long time in wrestling.
Isn't it just?
Yeah, so Orton cut a very impassioned promo. This was Orton caring about something. Mm. And he just said that while you indie guys were in the bingo halls, he was in WrestleManias. But then AJ said, sure you were, but you're also getting suspended for failed drug tests.
Yeah, interesting to bring that up on a week with the John Oliver segment. And Paul London really taking them to task on Twitter, saying that it's nothing but a PR witch hunt designed to weed out the people who, quote, don't want to play the game.
Yeah.
Which actually is, I mean, Randy Orton himself has been in interviews has said that he calls it the weed tax.
So Randy ended this segment by saying AJ is now...
Not you, Randy.
Oh, he got excited. He said that AJ, with Cena gone, is now the corporate bitch.
Yeah.
I thought, that's rich, coming from Orton. and Kevin Owens, brilliantly, just when that's said, the air changes, Kevin Owens just stands up, turns and walks out.
Yeah.
Just like he did last week with Becky and Charlotte. He wants people to fight.
Yeah.
It's quite a fun
thing. I did like Kevin Owens when he was doing the introduction. He had his three cards about who his guests were. And one of the cards had the Viper, but didn't know what the next card would say. So he had to turn the card over to go, Randy Orton. Yeah.
But they had a little bit of a brawl. Orton hit his RKO when AJ did the phenomenal forearm.
Yeah. I like that as well, because AJ was like, you've been here for so long and you've learned one move. Mm. And he's like, "It's when it's a move that's that good, you only need one."
Yeah.
He's got a point.
Well, John Cena's got six now. So.
Oh, yeah, he's got that weird punch thing.
So none
it's
of them are that
lamest
good.
Lamest thing, isn't it?
And then the New Day are backstage looking over their contract with giant monocles and feathered quills. And then we get Aleister Black, Ricochet and the Usos taking on The Bar, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Rusev.
The League of Nations 2.0.
Yeah,
yeah, so Aleister Black got his sound effect entrance, but everyone else got theirs in the commercial break. Sounds like trapdoor. Yeah. What's all that racket? Decent action this. Heels worked over Jay for a long time. Jimmy got the hot tag. Everyone did some big moves. Super kick, Usos win.
Yeah, yeah, double super kick from both the Usos on Rusev. And then, who should come out but Alexa Bliss? Raw, I guess she's the host or whatever of WrestleMania. She comes out, and she was definitely a babyface on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Not here.
Oh, no, not here.
She healed it up. She got some Your Hometown Sucks heat. And she says that... Oh, by the way, Ronda, Becky, and Charlotte have been released from prison.
Yep.
Just in case you were wondering. Just so we don't have to properly tie that up.
Yeah.
We'll just say it in a bit of throwaway exposition. And then they said... She said that the Usos should have repercussions for not beating up the New Day last week in the Tag Team Gauntlet match, which is a massive heel move. So she's like, so you will defend your titles in a four-way at WrestleMania.
I wonder again if this was supposed to be Vince. It's only since someone said that John Oliver thing that I wonder, because that feels like Vince coming out and saying, like, I booked you in a gauntlet match and you went against my will. That has repercussions. That sounds like a Vince. Alexa, why does Alexa Bliss care that they forfeited the match?
There's no consistency.
No.
It's infuriating, which is why you've just got to let it go.
I suppose, yeah. Just let it go. So, yeah, so she announced that it's going to be a fatal four-way with the Usos, The Bar, Rusev and Nakamura, and Aleister Black and Ricochet. So I'm really glad we spent this few weeks building up Aleister Black and Ricochet versus The Revival.
Mm.
Yeah. To pay off in a different match with other people.
The Revival are leaving. Come on. they just want out.
So yeah,
speaking of four-way tags, the Iconics came down next to promote their four-way for the women's tag team belts, and they were great.
They were so great.
Yeah, they're surprise, surprise. They're great promos. They did their Iconics pose, but nobody cares about them.
Yeah. And if you are someone in the comments, and we'll probably get some people in the live feed talking about this as well, who just said, I hate their promos, they're really annoying. That's the point. You're being worked. It's meant to come across as annoying, and you're not meant to like what they're saying.
Yeah, but sometimes, like, sometimes stuff gets the wrong kind of heat, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh no, I just don't like you being on TV.
Corbin.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're just annoying me to the extent where I don't want to watch the show.
Yeah,
it's more like, I want you to get your ass kicked at the pay-per-view. That's the sweet spot of heat.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think the Iconics get.
Oh, definitely.
I think the Iconics really do get that. I think they're very, very good. Nice to see them get some TV time, but I don't think this needed to be out in front of the live audience.
No.
This could have been done back. Was Kayla off or something? Like, because Corey Graves was doing stuff in the ring later on. Like, did she
Michael
have
Cole?
Yeah. I guess she was just like, she lost in catering, maybe.
No more generic backstage interviewers. It's a new era.
It's a new era, yes, it
They've
is.
They've all been drafted.
They're antiquated. We got some recaps, or half a recap of Raw.
Many recaps on this show.
And it was like watching a pre-brand split SmackDown.
I
don't think this was announced on Raw, but Brutus the Barber Beefcake is going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the news was broken on Monday, but they didn't mention it at all on the Raw I watched.
They don't care about this Hall of Fame this year, and they are heavily pushing it. Tickets are still available. Tickets are still available, folks, if you do want to come down.
Please come.
Please do come. Then we got, excuse me, The Miz in a 3-on-1 handicap match against Sanity. A 3-on-1 handicap match that The Miz handily won. Easily, I would say. They could have had 6 members of Sanity and Miz still wouldn't have struggled. That's how easy he beat these 3.
You've got an 18-person intergender tag match later, and you use Sanity here, not where they could hang out with Nikki Cross?
Well, I don't think Sanity are in the...
Oh, fair enough.
And also, they'd be on opposite sides because Nikki Cross is a babyface and Sanity would be on the other side.
Just flip a coin for allegiances.
Well, Gallus and Anderson were on the heel side and I thought they were babyfaces.
Yeah, by last time I checked.
They were at Christmas.
Yeah, so you love Sanity.
I do, yes.
So I found this very comical watching this morning.
Well, okay, so I've said this in the review, so I won't repeat myself too much. But this isn't the NXT Sanity. This isn't the Sanity that were tag team champions or in the War Games match against the Undisputed Era. That's not this Sanity. This Sanity is a team that took 2 months to debut after being announced. This is a Sanity that very rarely get on TV. This is a Sanity that when they do get on TV, they just lose. So yeah, of course Miz beat them in a 3-on-1 handicap match. They're losers. They're a bunch of jabronis. So it completely makes sense that Miz beat them, even though they had the advantage, and Shane McMahon was booking the match as it was going on to help them.
Mm. Yeah,
they're the Mean Street Posse. They're the Mean Street Posse in this scenario. This would have been better if it was the Posse, in all fairness.
That would have been great.
That would have been so good. But they're the Mean Street Posse.
Yeah, It's weird that Sanity are now Shane McMahon's henchmen, because their whole gimmick is that they don't really obey anyone.
It's chaos.
You don't get an anarchist collective suddenly sitting down and going, we need some leadership around here. That goes against the fundamental principles.
We need some leadership in a really corporate position.
Yeah,
that's what we need.
Oh, guys. Hierarchy. I'm just saying maybe we should have a command structure. And some people have power over others.
We should definitely have a leader who is in a position of power through nepotism. That's everything
itself.
We want.
Miz cut a good promo before this match. I still don't buy into him as this ass kicker, though, which sort of undermines everything that comes after. But he said, like, WrestleMania will be his retribution. He somehow pulled off a really genuine plug for Miz and Mrs.
Yeah.
Like, he was like... Yeah, look, I'm the best version of myself right now. I need to be the best version of myself. And you can see that on Miz and Mrs. after this show, because I love my wife, I love my kid. I know that sounds cheesy, but it's goddamn real. And I thought, I'm watching the show. I'm watching that show. He sold me on it. And then he calls Shane a son of a bitch. And that's when Shane comes out and he books him on a 3-on-1 match against Sanity. Eric Young shaved his beard.
Yeah, doesn't look as cool anymore. Like, I was going through some old pictures of Sanity for the news episode. You know, when he had the big beard and he had the mohawk and everything. I was like, that's a cool-looking Eric Young. Now he looks like someone... He's given up.
It's corporate Young.
Yeah, I think he's in the EC3 mold now. EC3 gave up a lot quicker. EC3's comedy selling later on showed just how little he cares about this now.
But Shane's an okay heel. He gets Greg to introduce him as the best. Greg Hamilton, the ring announcer, to introduce him as the best in the world. And then Miz has a little bit of a match, but then Shane comes out and says, now it's a Fool's Count Anywhere match.
Yeah.
And this was a fun little match.
Yeah, I thought this was a good Attitude Era-esque backstage hardcore brawl.
Yeah.
And I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, Alexander Wolf gets put through a table. There's a production, like one of those production cases on wheels, and Miz slams that into Young's face. That's how he gets the win. And then as Miz wins, Shane pulls up in like a 4x4, looks at him, and drives off.
I believe it was a limo.
Was it a limo? I thought that was a great touch.
Nice little touch, that, yeah. And, let's be honest, a complete burial of sanity. Like, there is...
It's ridiculous.
It's going to be very hard to come back from this, losing 3-on-1 when you had so much advantage on your side. But they're a bunch of... They're the Mean Street Posse now, so who
it's
cares?
It's a shame.
So who
Talent
cares?
Wasted.
Who
Talent
cares?
Wasted.
Don't just let it go. And a police car arrives also at this same time.
In the same shot.
Yeah, and out comes Becky Lynch. She got dropped off by the cops, I guess, from a different state.
Nice. Where was SmackDown this week?
Baltimore.
Where's that?
Raw was in Baltimore.
No, Raw was in Washington.
It's only 40 miles away.
Yeah.
As we know, that's a quick drive.
Yeah, apparently
it's under
so.
An hour drive.
Yeah.
But Becky, yeah, she
If I'm wrong, please tell me I'm wrong.
And then there was another video package recapping that brawl, which, as good as it was, there's only so many times I can see it.
Hey, man, they put all of their effort into that one angle. They've got to get their money's worth, I guess. And Corey Graves and his haircut were in the ring.
Yeah, it was flat this week.
Yeah. I think it was just flat tonight. Like, I didn't find... Yeah, it wasn't like an ice gem this week, or at least on Raw. And he said that all three women were released from prison, and he brings out Becky Lynch. Becky just takes the mic off of him, walks out the ring, gets on the table, and cuts a Becky Lynch promo. Good promo. Not a really hot follow-up, though, to the angle from Raw, though. This was literally like, oh, we need to do something with Becky. She's out of prison. She's having a chat. See you later.
Yeah, there was not much to this at all.
This needed,
nothing new.
This needed Ronda. This segment, like, or this SmackDown, needed like a big Ronda angle to be like, oh my God, Ronda Rousey's on SmackDown and she's attacking Becky Lynch. Something along those lines.
Just do the Survivor Series go home angle.
Yeah.
With Ronda attacking Becky. You build up Becky, she's going to like address the winner takes all thing later on tonight. And then you cut back to her room, her locker room, when it's time for her to come out. But Ronda's there waiting on her, and then Ronda comes down and she beats up everyone, and it's just, yeah, just have another big brawl.
Yeah.
Been a lot more fun.
Absolutely, yeah. So, but this was fine.
But they probably thought, let's not risk any concussions. Let's just have you stand very carefully on the table. Don't trip.
Don't trip. Then we got, holy heckins, an 18-person tag team match.
Intergender
tag team match. Holy heckins. And I was trying to write down, because I'd lost track of who was on what side when they like put the graphic up. And then they did all the intros. So they did all the baby faces, then did all the heels, but then did R-Truth and Carmella, who were on the baby face team. So I then got lost on who was on what side.
Mm. Yeah. But apparently it was the largest mixed tag ever.
I'm unsurprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was Naomi and Asuka and Nikki Cross and the Hardy Boys and Heavy Machinery and R-Truth and Carmella versus Gallows and Anderson, Shelton Benjamin, EC3, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, Andrade, Zelina Vega, and Lana. All of them are in their jobber battle royals. So that's what this match was here for.
Yeah, that's one way to get everyone on the show.
Absolutely, yeah.
And do you know what? It was quite fun.
Yeah, I've got one gripe with it, but we'll get onto that in a second. I just want to point out, we said last week how crazy it is that Sanity and Nikki Cross are up on the main roster and they've not been put together as an act yet. They have the same entrance music. Like, and they're not, I mean, I know Nikki Cross is like a variation of it, but it's the same song. Mm. And yet they're treated like they're different people. It's so weird. Yeah. But let it go. Yeah, so Lacey Evans came out. There's enough people here already, Lacey. We don't need you as well. Asuka didn't seem that upset about losing her championship. Heavy Machinery got into some comedy. And then a brawl broke out, which apparently caused a DQ.
Yeah, the bell just rang.
Yeah,
it?
Because the referee decided, oh, it's all broken down and causing the DQ, despite the fact that they did that in the 8-man tag earlier in the night, and that wasn't a DQ.
Yeah, it was Carl Anderson who just, I think, attacked R-Truth after the 5-second dance break, 7-second dance break, whatever it is. But yeah, the match is called off. And there's loads of little spots. Otis gets Randy with Mandy.
he looks at her and then goes, I'm coming!
Yeah. And Shelton Benjamin just throws him out. That was fun. Then Nikki eliminates Mandy. And then, like, Shelton Benjamin looks at her and walks away. So Nikki Cross just jumped on him and choked him out until they both fell out of the ring.
She held on as well, like a little spider monkey.
Someone said on Reddit that this Sunday in the men's battle royal, Nikki Cross should still be on Shelton Benjamin.
That would be brilliant, yeah. Yeah, and there was some cute stuff in here. EC3 and Matt Hardy, like former Impact World Heavyweight Champions.
I'm sad to see them like this.
Yeah, just facing off and they both eliminate each other. EC3 was doing lots of comedy selling through all of this. And then Jeff and Asuka were the people to stand tall, and then Asuka throughout Jeff to end. Sad to see Asuka in this position. 7 days ago, she was the SmackDown Women's Champion. And here she is now. With all of these jabronis.
If you put all that depressing stuff out of your mind, this was fun.
Yes, quite. We've got a video package for Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar. And then we got the first appearance of Ali since his name change.
Yeah.
So we got Samoa Joe versus Ali.
Hasn't helped.
No.
He lost.
Yeah. Quickly.
Very quickly.
To Samoa Joe. I think that Joe needed a win because he's lost quite a bit. I mean, he's lost every match he's had since they announced he was defending his United States Championship. And Ray lost on Raw as well. So this was looking to be a battle of the big losers. But I saw someone, because you did the news today, that apparently Ray's injured.
Yeah, apparently he got an ankle injury in that Baron Corbin match.
And someone tweeted me to say that they think it's a big work and Dominic is going to replace Ray in the match.
Oh, that's how you do it.
And you do Ray versus Dominic. Joe versus Dominic.
Himself.
And a few people have corrected us as well, saying that Dominic can't turn heel on his dad. His dad was Eddie Guerrero.
Of course.
So you can't turn heel on this dad, can he?
Legal loophole there.
Absolutely, yeah. There was also a guy who had a sign, I think it was the guy with the Final Fantasy VIII sign, who said, I ate the rosebud rabbit, so is he one of the tethered?
Is that an us thing?
Yeah.
Right. Maybe.
Maybe.
And then we got the main event contract signing segment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just nothing special.
No.
This was definitely an average episode of SmackDown.
Smack bang in the middle.
But it's also the WrestleMania Go Home episode. So we've got to be harsh.
Would you give this?
I'd go, no, because it passed fine. A low smack bang in the middle.
Yeah, I gave a smack bang in the middle. I think that SmackDown has been the far superior show for pretty much all of 2019.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd say, all of 2019 thus far. But this was a damp episode. It was a nothing happening episode. Easily could have been missed and nothing would. Like, nothing was advanced. Mm. Nothing was furthered. It was a real shame. Smack bang in the middle.
Yeah.
Randy Datsun, we have some questions, please.
Yes, you can.
Thanks, mate.
C-Twine92 Gaming. I just gave myself a paper cut.
I didn't mean to laugh at you there, because that genuinely does suck. Yeah.
Take a bump.
Should Kofi get a new look / Titantron after winning the belt at Mania?
I think Big E announcing Kofi's name at WrestleMania is going to be one of the biggest pops of the night. So, but then again, CM Punk changed his music the day after Money in the Bank, or when he came back after Money in the Bank.
Yep.
So it could work. It depends whether they want to have him as a singles star. But yeah. I would prefer they keep the New Day together.
I agree.
Carl Jenkins, I think
Jenkins
says, best way to avoid fan disappointment at WrestleMania.
Give them what they want. Although, no, I shouldn't say that, because every fan wants something different. There are people who don't want to see Kofi win this Sunday. So if you give Kofi winning, then you haven't given those fans what they want.
So what ways to stop yourself being disappointed?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. So just low expectations. Low expectations. Don't invest in anything. And you'll be pleasantly surprised. That's what happened to me. Was it last year, WrestleMania 34, where there was a point in the show where I was just like, what's the point? Let's just enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then, Asuka lost. Ronda Rousey had the match of the night.
Yeah.
All this insane stuff.
A 10-year-old won the tag titles.
Nicholas. Yeah. So just lower your expectations and
Just try and enjoy the show. Yeah.
Mr. One says, what will be the best match of the entire weekend, including G1, including
Ooh. Oh, including the G1 as well, because
NXT takeover.
Well, our NXT predictions are going to be going up later today around 8 p.m. BST, and I said in that video that I think Pete Dunne versus Walter could stand to steal the whole show, but that's all.
Cole Gargano.
Yeah. Even then, I'm looking at G1 stuff. I'm thinking Zack Sabre Jr., Tanahashi. I think that's going to be an awesome match.
Ishii, Naito.
Yeah. And then there's going to be some really, really good stuff on there.
Yeah. It's going to be a good weekend of wrestling.
Yeah.
And a lot of fluff.
That's an.
John DiPietro says, I heard Ray is injured. If so, and this keeps him out of Mania, who would you want to replace him, presuming it's not a work?
I suppose as that person tweeted to me to say, I think Dominic would be a great shout. I think what a great way to debut him as a character as well.
I just take Samoa Joe off the show.
Yeah.
Just
remove this match.
Yeah. And anything I can cut at the moment, I'm cutting. So yeah.
Yeah.
Just ditch that match.
Ditch the match.
Tomo again.
Tomo
says, fantasy book the main event. Sort of, how do you see it playing out?
Becky wins.
Is that it?
I mean, that's what I want to happen. Yeah, fantasy book it. Becky wins.
Yeah, I think
Becky taps out Ronda specifically.
I would have Becky tap out Charlotte. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Just because I think a Ronda Becky singles next year is the money match. I get that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and you can have Charlotte protected in that somewhat.
Yeah.
If she's beaten up. If both women hit their finishes on her and then she gets tapped out.
Or can you see them doing Charlotte has like a leg submission in and Becky has the disarmer in and they do like a big double tap out thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, so that's how Charlotte can keep her SmackDown Women's title.
I really hope they don't do that. If they do that, that would be a great spot to do, but then... Well, we're going to carry on the match. And then in that confusion, Becky wins. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe that sounds a bit lame.
Question?
That's the last of the questions. But there's just one. Sir Darko says, Corbin should lead Right to Censor 2.0 with Dana Brooke and Bobby Roode.
I'm into that, mate.
Yeah.
I'm into that. Absolutely. I really love Right to Censor. It doesn't work in this time period, though. I guess because...
Well, there'd be snowflakes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they could just be... people who are offended by everything.
Yeah,
that's kind of what Right to Censor was.
Yeah, but so it was the PTC, but they were more against people like, yeah, maybe they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. I saw Us last night.
Oh, I forgot you were going to see that.
Yeah, I saw Us last night.
Ooh, should we have a spoiler-free review for all those folks who haven't been lucky enough to see it?
Indeed, I think we should, although there's so much. I was reading loads of triv when I got home. I was all up in the triv that I could find.
Triv all over your face.
Oh, I was triving everywhere, trying to deep dive into what that story is about, and I was replaying bits of it in my head because I loved it. I thought it was really, really good.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah, I was not as scared as you were. You
texted with me.
You texted me after that had finished and just went F that. It was a simple two word text that just said F that.
Yeah, yeah, because I walked out the cinema and I was suddenly very scared of everyone. It was me, my friend Mario, and we were like, who is in on this? Who's got scissors in their pockets? But stay away from sharp things. Oh, it is so scared for me. For me, I'm easily scared. But it's not just like jump, bang, oh, look, they're behind you with a big string of violins, words. And it gets under your skin.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you spooked yourself the following day.
Oh, my God, yeah. When a hula hoop, one of my lady partner's hula hoops, rolled round me and I didn't know it had even moved. So I turned round and there's this thing just coming towards me because it sort of looped round in a circle and I kicked it. I kicked it into the door.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really great. Loved Lupita Nyong'o.
She's great.
So, so good. And Winston Duke's really good in it as well.
That's the dad who's also in
Black Panther.
Well, is it Black Panther?
Oh, okay. Is it just Leopard?
Leopard.
With melanism.
Melanism Leopard.
Melanism Leopard.
Can we do that with all the...
You can see why Stan Lee changed it, really.
Can we do that with all the Marvel movies so far?
Well, that was the gag in Iron Man, wasn't it? The first one. He's like, I mean, the suit's not actually made of iron. It's made of... But he's going through different things. We're like, Iron Man's catchier. We're going to go with that.
Yeah, they always... I mean, they're smart.
Yeah.
They know that there's... there's jokes to be had.
Exactly, already. Yeah. I mean, Spider-Man, quite famously, when the Golub of Canon Films acquired the rights to make a Spider-Man movie within sort of the Canon mold, he was then stunned to find out that he was just a human being. He thought he had purchased the rights to a monster movie about a Spider-Man. And then when he found out, it was like, I don't want to make this movie anymore. And just held on to the rights until Sony acquired them in the early 90s. Columbia Pictures, yeah.
Avi Arad.
You cannot make a Spider-Man movie without Aradnik.
No.
Yes. So anyway, thoroughly enjoyed it. I've been replaying bits of it in my head. Because what I love about Jordan Peele movies is that you watch it once and you get something out of it. But then on a second watch, when you think about bits and pieces, you get a whole different read on things. And that Us is littered with that throughout. Mm. I've been replaying certain phrases or certain sentences or speeches or moments. And I'm like, that ties into this. And that they said this because of that. And it just gives you a whole different reading that's going to be incredible to watch on a second viewing.
Yeah, I'd watch it again if I wasn't so terrified. I keep seeing every time I see 11:11 now.
Yeah.
Which is stereotypically where you make a wish if you're a child. Mm. And there's a scene in the movie where the kid goes, oh, look, it's 11:11. And they look at it. And there's something so sinister about four ones lined up next to each other. Because it's not just them. It's also the imposter family. Just as four
exactly
things that,
and the that four ones lined up in a row are actually littered throughout the movie.
Yeah, there's lots of symmetry.
Symmetry,
which makes sense for a movie called Us.
So big fan of Jordan Peele. Can't wait to see what he does next. I want to watch it again, but I also want to watch Get Out again to decide which of the two I think is better. At the moment, I've kind of got them on a level pegging at the moment because I really liked Get Out, but I'm desperate to watch that film again. But my wife doesn't want to, so that
I'll
might
watch
be...
it with you.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Yeah.
Should we come in earlier on Friday?
No.
Because we're coming in for 7.
So I'm not coming in for 7. I completely forgot that I've had an immersive experience booked for months, apparently. I was sort of furiously yelled at me. So I am coming in, but it's just going to be at 10.
You're going to be at 10, okay. Yeah. So anyway, I might watch Get Out on Friday afternoon before we come in for our big load of live streaming that we're doing, watching the big shows, watching it live. You can watch along with us on YouTube if you're staying up to watch it. There might be a slight delay, I guess, on...
You can pause the network, wait for it to catch up with us.
Yep, that's very true. Yeah,
and then you can play both.
Yeah, play both at the same time. Should we have some 80% facts before we get out of here, and I can go finish setting up the live stream?
Chat me up, Bruce.
Okay, that's a very long one, so I'm going to pick a different one. This comes in from Chris, who says, "Hi, Luke, Ollie, the trustworthy Fakador, and friends." Except Randy. Quick fact, sleeping on your back with your face looking directly upwards apparently makes you appear younger as your skin is stretched backwards and so doesn't wrinkle so much on your face. No idea if this is true or if the science behind it makes any sense, but I try it anyway just in case. I imagine it's just like that scene from The Simpsons where Homer has his fat tied up behind him. See, pick attacked.
Oh, I remember. Yep.
Thanks.
It was great there.
Thanks, guys. Brackets, not Randy. That's from Chris.
Mm. Well, I mean, that's just science. That checks out.
Yes, it just checks out.
I don't know why that hasn't caught on more in women's magazines, which often have these kinds of tips.
Yeah, well, they've got to sell you cosmetics because it's all tied in together and the corporations are paying for sponsorships within the magazine reads.
And that's why they don't have bigger bags and pockets.
Exactly, pockets on the shoes. Jacob emails in to say, "Hi, Luke, Ollie, El Fakador, and the other kid who wants attention. I've got 3 80% facts for you, all related to jogging that I heard when I was in middle school."
So that's 240% of facts.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that means there's 2 full facts there.
Should be. Number one, if you drink Mountain Dew, your jogging friend will shrink.
Really? The jogging friend?
Mm.
Well, I did that through another means over the weekend.
If you drink too much Monster energy drink, your jogging buddy will run out of sweat.
Hmm. That's weird. Oh, okay. So the sweat is something else.
Yeah.
There was always the, there's the, if you jog by yourself too much, you might go blind.
Yes.
Implying that you look directly into your jogging.
Is that what it is? My mother once said that fact to me and a group of my friends.
And how did that go?
When we were like 14 years old.
Mm.
And then she just walked out the room. She didn't walk in and just say it and then walk out. She was in the room and then
mic
just...
drop.
By the way.
And then just punch the kid with glasses on.
And lastly, speaking of solo jogging, if you go on a solo jog too frequently, you will be unable to have kids.
This is all, we should probably dispel all of these.
Yeah, keep especially consistently that last being one. Consistent, he that, says, Jacob.
That is straight out of Catholic school. That is, let's...
Was that the follow-up song to, or was it like the anti-song to NWA Straight Out of Compton? Mm. Straight out of Catholic school.
Straight out of Swanley, Kent. No, I had a friend who went to Catholic school, and a lot of that nonsense was taught, seriously. Telling a guy at that age that he can't go jogging when he wants to jog.
A lot.
All the time.
All the time. He's got so much pent-up energy that he's just got to keep on jogging.
Jog.
Yep.
Be free.
Jog on.
Jog barefoot. Jog with the wind in your hair.
Jog with some candles lit.
I'm not saying that you should jog outside. You should jog in your room.
But set up a fan to create like a wind effect. Yeah, absolutely.
Make a night of it.
So that is all we have got time for.
So no one said anything about your pants.
Or your pubes. So what a weird day for correspondence it could have been.
Because I told my lady partner about your cheap pants.
Oh, yeah?
And she was shocked. She admit that I have expensive pants, but your pant price point calibration is way off.
Well, I mean, they'll tear within a week or so, and then I'll sit there and go like, well, that was a terrible purchase, wasn't it?
After an Indian takeaway.
I did, I once bought an expensive pair of pants. I believe they cost me $20. It's the most I've ever spent on a pair of pants. They were a pair of Diesel pants. Mm-hmm. And the reason I got them is because they'd done a deal with Warner Brothers to release pants that had Batman 66 prints on them.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Well,
worth every penny.
Randy's at the door.
Okay, well, I'm going to go finish setting up the live stream. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow with myself and Laurie for the NXT review. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.